And now, another eFed journal entry with your host, TJ.
Welcome back, everybody, to part 2 of episode 21 of the eFed Journal. I am your host, TJ. Again, my host, Terry Marvin. This time, we talk more about APW, SCW, CRW, you know, really a lot of stuff that's happened in the last 2 years or so for Terry. But first,
this week's journal entry is brought to you by
Level 7 Wrestling. Are you ready for the next level? Look no further than Level 7 Wrestling. L7W is a company that is in kayfabe stepped up in the gaming industry that strives to make its product hip and edgy and all around a new spin on wrestling. Out of character, they aim to provide a full RP fed with an angle bonus. In between their bi-weekly RP show will be an angled show that is there solely to push your character and your feuds to the coming pay-per-view. First show will debut on September 14th. That's September 14th, 2013. Are you ready for the next gen in wrestling? Are you ready for Level 7 Wrestling? Check them out at W11, that's W, the letter W, 11, the number 11, .zetaboards.com/L7W. So if you listened to part one, and if you didn't, go back, stop, go listen to it, because you're going to miss a lot of the jokes that we have. We're going to pick up after he leaves Connecticut Forum, or Forearm, see, there's the joke, Forum Wrestling, and we pick it up with him entering his first Survive and Conquer. So let's get into that right about now. But then you end up in APW.
Then I end up in APW. Yeah.
Now, you do the Survive and Conquer in 2011, and you finished... Well, let me see if I remember. Seventh.
Nope.
Higher?
Knuckles.
Huh?
That was Knuckles.
Oh, that was Knuckles. Okay.
Yeah, 2011, I finished second.
That's right. And then 2012, you finish... Were you
tenth.
Top four? Oh, no, you're 10th. You're top 10. That's right. So then that's where you kind of start... Because you were on the Overdrive or two before Survive and Conquer, right?
In 2011?
No, 2012.
Well, 2011, I was on Overdrive before Survive and Conquer.
Okay.
I actually had a match or two, and I actually joined APW in 2011.
Oh, all right.
I wasn't there for very long because, you know, that was during my time of personal problems, but...
Mm-hmm. So, you come back... After the personal problems, 2012.
Uh-huh. 2012.
Survive and Conquer. And then after Survive and Conquer, you came back to APW?
Nope, my first match back, I think, was either a week or two before Survive and Conquer, the Overdrive or two before Survive and Conquer,
okay.
Against none other than Level 1. Welcome back.
Yeah, right? Hey, welcome back, Terry. You got to face Level 1. I think, how'd you fare?
Against Level 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, I won that match.
Oh. Cocky son bitch. Just, yeah, I won that match. And you
yeah,
say you're a humble guy.
I have my theories that Level 1 threw that match, but that's just me.
Why would you throw the match?
I don't think role plays wise I beat him.
Why do you think he threw the match?
Because I won, and I don't
know.
No, think
but like why?
I don't know. Like it could have been he had that angle going on with him. He was just part of the syndicate, and he was being forced to be part of the syndicate.
Yeah, true.
I think it could have had something to do with that. Either that, or he wanted to, you know, push his match against what the fuck was that guy's name? Kid Dynamite, Dynamite Kid.
Kid Dynamo.
Kid Dynamite, yeah. Because that's how the match ended, was Kid Dynamite came out and tripped Level 1, and I took advantage. Like I do. Mm-hmm.
So, you... Survive and Conquer happens, and then you start I think it was you start the Fed of the Year right after that first Overdrive, right, against Keaton Saint?
The feud of the – well, right, the first Overdrive after Survive and Conquer, I won the Overdrive title in a four-way match. And then after that, we started the Feud of the Year with Keaton Saint. And it actually wasn't the Feud of the Year, but it was a good feud.
I thought it was Feud of the Year.
No, Kurt Noble and I was Feud of the Year.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. I keep forgetting that. So, this is where it's fun, because this is where Terry Marvin, that everybody knows and despises and damns, really starts to get the limelight. Because you beat Keaton Saint two pay-per-views in a row.
Yep.
WrestleMania 8 and Mayhem.
Yep.
And then...
Which, while we're talking about that, was, like, feuding with Keaton Saint was probably my favorite feud in all of E-Fetting ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was so great to work with. He had great ideas. And it just really... he made the Terry Marvin character as far as APW goes.
And I think he reciprocates that feeling. It's been a while since I've actually, like, I don't listen back to my EFED journals. And I know the last time we did this, we spent a lot of time on this, but we didn't spend a lot of time on pre-Terry Marvin, like pre-APW Terry Marvin.
Yeah.
So what I might do is just, like, combine the two, possibly.
Yeah, there you go.
Might be too long, but I'll work on it. The way he talked about the feud with Terry Marvin, just you could tell that was one of his favorite pieces of work that he's done as a whole. And
I reciprocate that 100%.
No, I remember, because I think leading up, it was either after reading his or listening to his or doing his podcast and before yours, I went back and actually read that entire feud.
Yeah.
I think I read, like, from two or three Overdrives before WrestleMania to Mayhem, and just enjoyed it all, even though, like, knowing how it ended up, and knowing that he was the first victim of the Summer of Showtime, like the first official victim, and then you had the lead up for the Test for the Best, and you beat another former participant of the EFED Journal, AC Smith.
Yep.
He was the first true, like, legit victim of the Summer of Showtime. Like, he right. was, because I said this before, if it wasn't for Terry Marvin, I think AC Smith goes on at least into the finals.
I agree with you.
Like, that role play that he put out was, like, son of a bitch. And I share that feeling, because me and Gooch, we were doing the Clash of the Titans thing, and yeah. we lost to you and Level 1, and I felt that we had a top 4 thing. It just sucked that we faced one of the top 3.
Bad draw, yeah.
So, and it's just like, and it sucks, because he put on all that work, and it was second or third best in the entire tournament, and he faced a guy who ended up winning.
Yep.
So you beat AC, and then you beat
Keaton Saint
again. Yeah, that's right. And then you beat Sally, and then she was doing the whole redemption back, going back for the title type thing.
Yep.
And then you, and the funny thing, this is after, because I was talking to, it was Callahan, maybe? I was asking him, because this is around the time that I had the tap out title, and I said I wanted to break his thing. And he's like, well, you're defending against, you know, you're not defending against real people. And I said, what are you talking about? You barely defended it on pay-per-views. And I'm like, the only person you faced that was worth note was Sally Talford. He's like, yeah, and I beat her. I go, yeah, you didn't put the title on the line. And he goes, well, she didn't want it on the line, because she felt if she had the title, it would hurt her chances of winning Test for the Best. Well, the person she lost to that year had the Overdrive Championship, so wouldn't have really been a factor. And would have been an awesome match.
Did I have the Overdrive Championship at Test for the Best?
Yeah. Because remember, you dropped it the following Overdrive.
Oh, I'll be damned, you're right.
Between Deli and maybe Mark Mania?
I think it was Mark Mania. It was Mark Mania, Deli, and me.
Yeah. And then you dropped it to those two. One of those two. And then Deli won it. And
yeah, it started that, Deli.
That awesome feud. Really, anything Delicato touches.
Yeah, it's gold.
But while he was touching things, and they weren't all just legal things to touch, you were feuding.
Wow, racism and sexual abuse.
I'm just saying, he might be in an art museum touching the paintings. They're not legal to touch when you're in an art museum. Get your mind out of the gutter, Terry Marvin. Get your mind out of the gutter. And then, because you start your feud with Kurt Noble, which, if it wasn't for that feud, like you had feud of the year locked up with Keaton Saint, and then you decided, oh well, I'll work with Kurt Noble. I'll work with Kurt Noble. It's not like he's like one of the best ever. I'll work with him.
Yeah.
So
I'll plumb it, no problem.
I'll take a step down and I'll no, but the you do that, and I remember that feud because I remember going into it because I've known Kurt Noble for a couple years, at least known of him, and I knew how good he was. I didn't know how good Terry Marvin was, and I'm reading this and I was like, oh, I think Kurt's got this. I don't know if many people can beat Kurt, and then I read the Shockwave promo. I was like, oh, damn. He said, this is close. And I was just sitting there, I was like, all right, well, even if Terry loses, damn, he almost beat Kurt Noble. Like, I've never seen somebody almost beat Kurt Noble. And then you beat him, and I was like, oh, ooh. And then you caused Kurt Noble to go Kurt Noble.
Yes. I caused Noble to Noble.
Which I'm happy that that's still a term. Yeah, I think I'm going to go Noble. Make my character go Noble. Which, if those who are uninformed are listening, it's where you just go batshit crazy because because Terry Marvin caused a rift between you and your wife, and your wife to cost you your world title, and that was really the only thing that meant anything to you, and you just decide to go batshit crazy on everybody and everything, and go completely 180 to what the character was before. At least in APW lore. Completely.
Yeah, and that was almost a double... That was kind of a double turn, too, because he almost went batshit crazy, and I got almost facehood.
Yeah, you were just like... and that goes credit to you, because most characters... Most people would have just ran with that, like, oh, well, he's going batshit crazy heel. Well, I think if we continue this, I should go face. And I think it helped that right after Shockwave was One Night in Hell, so you had the ability to stay a heel because there were six people you had to face. It was Biggs, CJ Gates.
That was ridiculous.
Biggs, CJ Gates, Noble, Hart, and who was the sixth person? I keep forgetting.
Biggs, CJ Gates, Noble, Hart, and Level One.
Yeah, that's right. And the reaction you had on the forums at that Overdrive. After the Overdrive, I was like, yeah, I don't know who's going to win, but I know it's not going to be me. And I knew it wasn't going to be Hart because he wouldn't want it. No matter what, like, even though
he might not have wanted it, but he could have done it.
Exactly. Yeah, really, anybody could have gotten it. And the fact that you walked out with that title is just like, okay. He beat Kurt Noble once. He beat Kurt Noble twice. He beat Level One, Biggs, CJ Gates, Chris Hart, and then you proceed. I know I'm going quickly here, and I know, but is this way we can, like, I'll get to the end and then we can go back and talk about some of these things.
Yep.
You go Christmas Chaos, you beat Biggs.
Yep.
We'll save this for after what follows Christmas Chaos, Survive and Conquer. We'll save that.
No problem. So,
then WrestleMania, you defeat. You defeat CJ Gates.
Yep.
So, within your title reign, you have already defeated Kurt Noble twice, Chris Hart, CJ Gates twice, Biggs twice, Level One. Then Mayhem, you flip. Actually, we'll stop at WrestleMania. We'll talk about that because there's a lot that happened.
There's a lot that happened between all that.
So, between Shockwave and and WrestleMania, what's going through your mind all that time?
What's going through my mind?
Yeah. What is going through your mind? Because I remember we this like the first actual conversation we had was in the APW chat box. Was like, dude, you're doing a lot. You're writing like 3 matches and 8 segments and a promo every week, and it's like you're gonna burn yourself out, man. Be careful. And
you were, yeah,
like, that was my worry. Like, were you actually worried about burning yourself out?
I was. But I think between Test for the Best and I think Christmas Chaos, I was writing 50% of Overdrive. I'm not trying to boost my ego with that, but I was putting in a lot of segments. Mm-hmm. Because I had a lot to do. there was a lot going on at that time, and I loved writing segments and advancing everything, and I just kept writing and writing and writing and writing, and every fucking week I put more shit in there.
So
yeah, I was really worried about burning myself out.
Now, when you obviously your reaction when you beat Sally in the finals and you win Test for the Best is awesome. I win. I face Kurt Noble now. Because Kurt Noble, you knew whoever won that was facing Kurt Noble, because Kurt Noble was with Noble Heart. They were doing the tag team thing that Test for the Best. What's going through your head when you go, okay, now I have Kurt Noble?
Well, what's going through my head at that point was, was fun. I was like, sweet, I won the right to get my ass kicked. Literally, that was what was going through my mind. I won Test for the Best, and I'm like, well, that was pretty cool. I guess I'm cool if that's all that happens. Because I'm going against Kurt Noble, because I hadn't seen him lose.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, true.
He hadn't lost since I'd been there, back in APW in the beginning of 2012. He hadn't lost. So it was sick. And he actually already beat me once that year. So.
And that was the whole, I think it was being billed as the year of Noble versus the summer of show. At least like from your end, you were saying like, you know, it might be the year of Noble, but this is the summer of Showtime.
Right.
So, going through just writing that role play, are you going in like trying to are you just letting it flow and whatever happens?
Or that's that's exactly what it was. It was, all right, you know what? I don't have anything to lose here, so I'll just write whatever comes to my mind. I'll put it to paper, and we'll see what happens.
Now, that's the best way to tackle that kind of situation? If somebody who is intimidating to go up against, like a Kurt Noble, a Jack Benevolence, a Terry Marvin. I know this is kind of giving advice to people who are going to face you, but like, well, what's the best way to beat yourself, Terry? Don't try to beat me. It's like, is that the best way you feel?
I think that's the best way to approach any kind of role play situation, honestly. I realize that's probably cliche, but like if when I went in against Kurt Noble for that Shockwave, my intent was just to cut loose, have some fun, and write for fun. I wasn't trying to win, because it was Kurt Noble and nobody wins. So yeah, that's the best advice I can give anybody going up against somebody that has that kind of reputation of really hard to beat. Don't try to beat them. Let loose. Have fun.
Yeah. And you're not saying don't try to beat them. You're not saying it as in, well, don't try to beat them because you're not going to. It's don't try to beat them because if you
don't
try
write your
to,
role play with the intention of writing it to try to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that's probably not coming out right, but don't sit down in front of the computer and go, and look at the role play like, okay, does this win? Is this going to win? Is this going to do it? Oh, I got to write better. Oh, I got to change this sentence. Oh, I got to do this. Because you're just overanalyzing at that point. It's going to come back and kick you in the ass.
Mm-hmm. So when you put it out afterwards, you saw his role play and you saw yours, did you try to judge it and say, I might have won? Or did you go, whatever happens, happens? Did you stick with the whatever happens, happens?
Well, I read his. both of his, and I read mine, and I did. I looked at it. I was like, huh, this is pretty close. I didn't really think it was – I didn't think I was going to win. Before the role plays were out, I've written it off. I was like, okay, I'll just go out and have a blast. Yeah, after I read them, I'm like, huh, this is pretty close. I was like, well, you know, Coach's role plays were awesome, and I did the best that I could, so whatever happens, happens.
Mm-hmm. And then you –
That was my whole approach at that point. So.
And then you're reading Shockwave. And then you're reading it, you're going through, and you see Amy Noble come out. Do you kind of just go, uh-oh, like this? Did you get a feeling at that point, like, I might win that? Because the way that the entire thing was built as is Amy Noble is there. She's being a force, and she wants Kurt to just not focus as much on wrestling.
Well, me and Kurt had talked about it beforehand, and regardless of the result, Amy was turning on Kurt.
Okay. Oh, all right.
And it was either going to happen before the match or after the match. And when I saw her come out before the match, I was like, huh. before the match ended.
Yeah.
Before the ending, I was like, huh. And then, yeah, when everything happened and I ended up winning, I was... Yeah, I don't have words to describe that.
Did you get butter? Like, because I know if I'm rating a match, that's have pretty heavy implications on my character and whatnot. And reading it, and you kind of read and you see, you know, you see Terry Marvin, he hits his move and he's going for the pin, and you're just like, well, I'm almost at the end of the screen. This has to be the ending, right? this has to be the ending, right? Right?
And absolutely.
And you're just sitting there like, oh my god, I'm gonna do it. And then you read one, two, yes, three. And then you're just like, yeah, I did it. Okay, all right. And then you're just like, when did it sink in that you beat Kurt Noble?
I don't know. I read the match, and then I read the match again, and I literally jumped up and down. No joke.
I would too. As dumb as it sounds that somebody's celebrating like that after the result of a match of between fictional wrestlers that we don't really have much real life implication on, celebrating like that, but it's a competition. You just beat somebody who's damn good. You just beat like a Muhammad Ali. That's really the only way I can put it together.
It's like that's pretty close to it, yeah.
You struck out Babe Ruth. You
there you go.
You blocked Jordan, or you dunked on Jordan. I'm just going along. I'm going through facets, but you know, you deked out Wayne Gretzky. So, but yeah, when did it ever sink in, or like how far along the week did it sink in?
I don't think it fully sank in until that next Overdrive.
When you had to write a celebration
segment. I was writing my celebration segment, and I was like, holy shit, this really happened. And then right after that, or right before that, that Overdrive happened, and I turned in my celebration segment, I got a PM from Jeff saying, well, here's your One Night in Hell match.
That's rough.
And I'm like, it's going to be a good 2 months.
Yeah, right. I gotta build to this. It's gonna be great. So, did you know Noble was going to Noble himself?
Yes.
Okay.
To an extent, yes.
All right. Now, take me through the lead up in your own mind as far as to One Night in Hell. Cause, you know, having to face Kurt Noble by himself would be bad enough. Like, okay. Maybe, like, I don't know how well you knew Noble at this point, you know, like, and if his story that he was telling needed the world championship or not. But just facing him again would be like, okay, I know he's going to give it, like, effort. And his effort is a lot of people's all.
Yeah.
So I have to, you know, I wanted, and you don't want to be, like, as selfish as it sounds, you don't want to be the guy that just wins the title and then loses it the next time. You want to hold the title.
Right. You want at least one good defense.
And that's one good defense. I want one good defense. Oh, Terry, you have to face level one, Big, CJ Gates, Kurt Noble, and Chris Hart. Can I get a decent defense? It's just decent. I'll take a decent defense. Below average, I'll take that.
What's your mouth doing?
Sorry,
I had to. Had to go there.
So, you're... I'm gonna assume that you're taking the same idea and motivation to roleplay as whatever happens happens. But times six now, times five, because now you have five.
I wanted to win.
Oh, okay. All right.
There are very, very few times in e-fetting where I roleplay to win, and I mean, granted, I didn't sit there and overanalyze my roleplays, but. I put a lot of thought into them, and yeah, I wanted to win.
Okay, so now I have this question that I don't think I asked when we actually recorded the last time. Between your test for the best role plays, your Shockwave, and your One Night in Hell, what are your favorites?
Oh God. Well, my test for the best role plays were Game of Thrones spoof.
Yeah.
And I love doing spoofs, obviously, which I'm sure we'll talk about later.
Oh, yeah.
I love doing spoofs, and I had a good time writing them. My One Night in Hell, I had a kind of a war Armageddon theme in at least one of them, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Damn it, TJ, you're going to make me go back and look now. But yeah, the One Night in Hell had that kind of that Armageddon theme, and you know, just go out and see what happens. But my Shockwave role plays, like I didn't think about them. I just kind of sat down and wrote and just let it all hang loose and had a blast doing it. And so I think for that sole reason, those were my favorite. That was my favorite roleplay series of the year, was the Shockwave ones.
Okay.
Just because the amount of fun I had just writing them.
Now, after One Night in Hell, you have... Yep. How was that reaction? Because it was one of those... Because the other one you went in with, all right, whatever happens, happens. Holy shit, I just won. For One Night in Hell, you went in, I want to win. Was it good? Or, holy shit, I just won.
It was holy shit, I just won. Because I wanted to win, but I had four of the last champions were my opponents. The four last undisputed champions were my opponents. Yeah. As much as I wanted to win, I'm not stupid. But, yeah, I won. It was like, holy shit.
Okay.
Because... Also, and like Biggs wrote that match, the Scream Elimination Chamber, and I did a corkscrew moonsault off of one of the corners pods. Where the pods are, and that was just like the coolest inning I've ever seen. But so that was
now,
cool too.
And that ended up winning match of the year, right? Yeah.
Now should have. I think it was about 300 or 400 pages in Word.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's a close estimate.
That's a lot of effort. I write maybe like if I write 5 pages worth for a match, I'm good. I'm content. I think it's too long, but I'm content with it. Still, that's a lot of words. So you go in, and now you're facing Biggs, who was at the time was running a parallel wife crisis thing to Kurt Noble, and it just sucked because while like Biggs was his thing was great because it was different.
Yeah, it was really good.
From and like it just like if they ran parallel, but they each one had a different feel to it. Like Biggs was the guy who he had done a lot of great stuff, and maybe it was the time to retire, and choosing his wife, and the wife said, no, like, no, I don't want you. Like, I don't care. And he was like, oh. And then just the depressed Biggs, like, I guess I have wrestling now, I guess. Like, I don't want wrestling, but I have it. And then he's doing, like, he's kind of going heelish with his stuff, but he's facing you, and because you're the bigger heel, the more mega heel.
Well, I was kind of, leading up to One Night in Hell, I kind of was not much heel. Like, coming out of that match, I was probably the number three heel in that match, behind Kurt Noble, and because after that match, that's when Noble really nobled.
Yeah.
And then there was Level One, of course, who was in there, and so. But yeah, I was. It was kind of a double turn going through that. At least that planned out.
So, so that's your first solo defense of it. And yes. I mean, after, maybe it's just me, but I would get a little cocky because, okay, I'd be Kurt Noble. And then I'd just be Kurt Noble again, as well as Biggs, Level One, CJ Gates, and Chris Hart. And now I have a singles defense against Biggs, who, for me, I'd be cocky. I'd be like, yeah, like, I beat Biggs already once. I'll do it again. Did you fight that urge?
I didn't have to fight that urge. I didn't really have it.
Okay. All right. So then I'm an asshole.
No, you're not. I mean, it's understandable, but I mean, Biggs wrote amazing for the One Night in Hell match.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's coming off of that right into Christmas Chaos. And then we have that whole double. He really makes his face turn push, and he's got new motivation, and it's like, okay, well, I guess I'm okay if I lose.
Yeah. So that's how you end 2012. The year that started as the year of Noble really took a turn for the year of Showtime. Although it's really the year of both. Like, just.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I was on Meltdown in May. So, like, I was on Asylum after Test for the Best. And as much of the stuff between Sally and Bailey it was just, there wasn't it was always, the landscape was always changing. But Overdrive, it was Noble and then Terry Marvin. And there was no going in between that. So it's just like, as much as the Asylum crew was doing, you had Terry Marvin, you had like the Noble stuff and the Terry Marvin one were 1A and 1B. Slot them between A and B as you want. And then it was Kurt Noble and Terry Marvin were 2A and 2B. It was just, they took up two, like as where I was sitting, it was just,
right.
those were just that important of storylines that they took
right.
up the top two. Things, even though they're both equal. So you go into Surviving. So now it's Survive and Conquer time, and this is where
right.
it's going to get fun, because there's a lot of controversy behind your Survive and Conquer win.
Was there?
There was. There was a lot of controversy for two reasons. All right, because you're winning roleplay. You it was like a How I Met Your Mother type thing, flashback, flash forward type thing, a spoof on How I Met Your Mother, when the person you defeated, the runner-up, Sally Talford, did a similar theme, promo, and that was kind of controversial, like, oh wow, the two writers that did the How I Met Your Mother spoofs, they won. Well, I guess but Terry's was after Sally's, so Terry took the idea. I'm letting you both know. You two took my idea that I called back in like August, so fuck both of you.
Yeah, but we were bigger than you, so we really didn't pay attention.
You know what? Fuck both of you. Fuck both of you guys.
I really did not, that didn't even register to me. that you called that.
I called it back in August. If I feel like it, I'll go back and look for it because I know exactly where I really want to do a How I Met Your Mother roleplay in August. I remember typing that out. And then I think Rebel said, I'm going to steal that idea. I said, no. Anybody who steals that idea is on my shit list. Terry Marvin and Sally Talford are on my shit list. Schindler has his list. I have a shit list.
All right. I'm going to defend myself here.
All right, go ahead.
Instead of you running ragged all over me here.
I don't need
to. First of all, I did not recall you ever saying that. So I apologize if I inadvertently stole your idea.
Apology not accepted. Go on.
Yeah, well, blow me. Second of all, I did not fully read Sally's roleplay before I posted mine. Mm-hmm. I skimmed through a bunch of them because we had that podcast and I wanted to kind of see it.
Mm-hmm.
But, I did not read Sally's. I wrote mine. I had started writing mine like the day after the full card was announced. So I'd written like a couple hundred words a day and was just building up towards it. And, like, I posted mine, and then I went back and read Sally's, and I'm like, oh, shit. Because we did. We had the same exact theme. But you can say that. We had the same exact theme. It's true. But we didn't have the same exact role play. They were quite different if you read them.
Yeah, no, they were. It was just, there was a theme. That's really all it was a theme. And everybody was like pointing to the theme that there was, that's why you guys won. It's like, no, because if it was just a theme, then they would have tied, clearly.
Right.
So it was just fun to watch everybody's reaction to Terry Marvin winning and Sally Talford coming in second because they had the same theme but different content. Like, so, but then. The best
I'm pretty sure she hates me for that too.
Because if it wasn't for that was her damn you Terry Marvin moment.
That was her damn you.
If it wasn't that, it was the test for the best. But it's okay because she got the title shot at Shockwave anyways. So everything works out. Everything's kosher in the end. The best part about this though is twofold, or at least for me, because there's a graphic request. Hey, I have a graphic I need. Somebody PM me. Anybody up to it, send me a PM. And I said, oh,
right,
for it.
Let me set this up first.
Okay, go ahead.
So before Survive and Conquer, I told everybody, I was like, look, if I win Survive and Conquer, I'm retiring. That's it. Because you don't think, nobody thinks they're going to win a match like that.
No.
86 people role played for it.
Out of 100, yeah.
Out of 100.
Which is still a lot. What
the fuck? What? So yeah, I was like, yeah, if I do that, I'm gonna retire.
Now, here's the thing is you weren't saying it like on the floor. It was always in chat. Like I remember I was in chat, it's like if I win, I'm gonna retire, and then somebody goes, yeah, if I win, I'll retire. Like
right.
That kind of like, yeah, if I win, I'll retire. But the difference was that those not everybody had the same chance that you had because you're Terry Marvin. it's like different skills. Yeah. So that's all going on. You win, and you send out the graphic request topic thing. You let me know, hey, I want it to just be like super arrogant. Imagine if somebody just won $1 million and they're spending most of it on this one banner. And I said, okay, all right, I can do that. And then late, about two days after that is, hey, long story short is, you know, I'm going to retire. I'm going to stop. I've done a lot with Terry Marvin and I think it's time to retire the character. I'm still going to be around doing the staff stuff, but you know, life's getting a little bit busy, all that stuff. Twitter was going through you like you're on Twitter saying, hey, to Sal Talford, you know, between Survive and Conquer and Test of the Best, two biggest moments, and you were there to share it with me, to Kurt Noble, like just like retrospective Terry Marvin,
Like, oh, I hammed it up, man.
Oh, yeah. And then I take this, I did the graphic, and I did it probably the 2 days before Overdrive. And it was just Terry Marvel, Matt Hardy, which we never really covered this. Was Matt Hardy your first pick base?
It was. It was my first pick base, and I've only changed it once, but because I had to.
Who did you Matt change Hardy it to? Taken.
I changed it to Edge.
Okay.
For like a month, and then I was back to Hardy. So.
Okay. So it's Matt Hardy, and I think I had a picture of Big Ben, because Survive and Conquer was in London.
Yeah.
And I had fireworks, and what I wanted to do was make the fireworks actually go off. But I'm not that skilled with Photoshop. So the thing was like, all right, make it arrogant. I was like, okay, well, you're making a banner, and you want your face plastered. The original idea was $100 million bill with Terry Marvin's face on it, saying "Survive and Conquer" winner. And I said, no, that's not gonna work. So then I made a background.
That's not self-indulgent enough.
No. So then I go, Terry Marvin. Faces all over the place, like the entire background, like Terry Marvin faces. And I was like, that might be too arrogant. And then I did it. I was like, that doesn't look right, so I'll do that. So then went to the fireworks with the Big Ben, and I go, well, how would it be arrogant? Oh, let's just list off the year that he had. So test for the best Overdrive winner, beat Kurt Noble for the over. Like, it wasn't like beat whoever for the Overdrive. It was won the Overdrive. One test for the best. Beat Kurt Noble to win the Undisputed title. And then it was win, survive, and conquer. And then the last one was the best. It was my favorite part about the entire thing.
It was mine, too.
Nails Olivia Munn on the reg. That was the last and final like accomplishment of Terry Marvin's 2012 or whatever or year. And I was like, he's just saying, he's like, that's perfect. And I said,
it was. Oh. It was exactly what I wanted.
So, and then we're reading, you know, so everybody's building it up to the final. Because I'm sitting there, I was like, well, he's retiring, so this obviously going to be a retirement thing. Well, that's great because it's going to fit what his year was. So that's why he's going to retire. Okay, that works. Start reading Overdrive and half of the retirement ceremonies in the beginning of the show.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you know, I'll be celebrating more. We'll have more. But I don't want to. It's just so big that we're going to keep going throughout the entire night. And then I'll be celebrating my retirement with Level 1, and I forget who else you were teaming with. It was a six-man. It was you, Level 1, and somebody versus CJ.
I have a feeling it was Evan.
Might have been.
Evan Envy.
No, I think it was Delicato. And then
was it Deli?
And then you faced Mania. It might be something like that. I just feel like it was either Deli or Evan.
Thanks, man. Now I got to find out.
I don't know. But you get the match, and then you were trying to like give CJ Gates like the title. And
the match ended, and I said, and I got back on the mic. I was like, you know, I thanked the fans. They cheered for me. I called CJ back in. I went to hand him the title.
And then the swerve.
Then I shoved it upside his head.
And that's one of the reason why it worked so well is because it wasn't like you were you just doing it in character. You were doing it out of character. I'm going to be doing this bubble. Oh man, Terry. Then it's I remember as soon as that show went up, the first topic in the out of character is "fuck you, Terry Marvin." Not even a "damn you, Terry Marvin." A "fuck you, Terry Marvin." And then I would like to call that, whether I was joking or not, I was still calling a swerve. Whether a joke or not, I was the first to say that I'll believe it when it happens.
Right.
And so I take credit for calling it out before it happened. I knew it all the time. Why did you do that? I mean, I know you love the stories, and obviously we talked about how you had a 2-year swerve. What was so great? Why did you do that to everybody?
Because I wanted to sell it.
Okay.
I really did. I wanted to sell the whole angle. And the only way I could really get that emotion across was to make it real, to make people really think that, you know, this was it. And because if I would have gone in there and said, and not done an OOC and just, you know, did the retirement angle, people would have been reading the show and they just saw the beginning of it and they'd have been like, okay, something fucked up is going to happen at the end of the show. He's going to swerve something. Mm-hmm. And they would have known. It would have been obvious. So I really wanted them to read the show and be shocked at the end of it. So I sold it out of character. I wasn't doing it to be mean or malicious or anything. I just... shut up.
Work. I'm still crying. It's still real to me, damn it.
I didn't mean it to be malicious or anything like that. I really wanted to sell it out, you know, completely, totally. Have everybody buying into it and believing it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. And I sold it out of character.
And you're still an asshole. Fuck you, Terry Marvin. So, and this all leads to WrestleMania 9. You're facing CJ Gates.
Yes.
And the kind of, this is, I just felt the problem at this time was that while this is going, that's probably what should have, like, that should have been the biggest match of WrestleMania. You know, Terry Marvin's going from, you know, is still champion. He swerved everybody. CJ Gates, it's his second, you know, he's trying to win it back, the title. You know, after his failures the year before, big bit boom. At the same time, though, you have Kurt Noble, you have Noble Heart, the finale of that happening. Kurt Noble, who went noble and is doing everything to win the championship, to finally, like, realize, like, he turned Chris Hart into, like, Kurt Noble. And that entire story, and it was just... the way that match happened, if that match actually had a wrestling ending rather than a story ending, I don't know if CJ Gates, Terry Marvin gets as well recognized as it deserved. Just because that the way that match was written, that three stages of hell, if they had that a definite ending for that third, and people could go, wow, that match was ridiculous, instead of people going, wow, that match didn't have an ending. What the fuck? Like, that's a bad match because it didn't have an ending.
Right. Which I think is just bullshit. But
exactly. I mean, it's just, it didn't need to have an ending. That was the whole point. The ending was there. And you just, if you just read show to, if you don't read show to show and retain knowledge, you're not going to realize it. But, I mean, talk to me about the CJ Gates Terry Marvin WrestleMania 9 feud, because you knew that you were facing him after Christmas Chaos.
Yeah.
So did you have the plan in place? I figure you planned on faking your retirement, you know, if you won, you know. Were joking about it.
No. That idea came about after I won Surviving Can't Conquer.
Oh.
That wasn't pre-planned.
Oh, all right. So you were planning your. So, did you try to fit that into the CJ Gates storyline, or did you just say, "Look, this has to be something by itself"? Like it really has to stand alone for the most part. I can bring CJ in, but this has to be a Terry Marvin event, not a Terry Marvin versus CJ Gates event.
It was mostly a Terry Marvin event, but it was also the kickoff to the CJ feud.
Okay.
I brought him right into it. I was like, here's the title. It's yours. Whap. And that pretty much kicked it all off. But yeah, I didn't plan on, well, first of all, I didn't plan on winning Survive and Conquer. I wasn't sitting there after Christmas Chaos going, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to win Survive and Conquer, beat 99 other people. Easy piece of cake. No problem. And then I'm going to plan out this massive, crazy retirement angle, swerve everybody, and then start my feud with whoever wins Christmas Chaos, which was CJ Gates. Yeah, it didn't go like that. It went, holy shit, I've won Survive and Conquer. Now I have to make a big deal out of it, you know, like you do. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it was literally planned the week before Overdrive.
Okay. So, the ride from that Overdrive to WrestleMania, it kind of, for me, it didn't live up to it. I mean, when you start off that well, you really can't go up. You have to try to maintain where it is, and that's very
right.
hard. So it just, if you look at it from the Overdrive after the Swerve to WrestleMania, is great. But it's just, you can't do that. You have to look at that first Overdrive.
Right.
And it set a tone that wasn't, it was very hard to keep up.
Now, it really was.
Were you disappointed in that? You know, even though you tried, it was just like, I love this, but now where do I go?
No, I wasn't disappointed at all.
Okay.
I loved how that finished out. I loved the build with Gates. I mean, sure, we probably could have done more, but could we really have done more? Or did we just set ourselves up for failure from the beginning? I mean, not that it failed or anything, because it was a great storyline with Gates going into that, and it was a good match. But like you said, after that first Overdrive, you can't go any higher.
Yeah.
So then it's really hard to maintain that kind of thing. And you had the Noble Heart stuff going on, which personally I didn't want to try and overshadow. Because to me it was a big deal. To a lot of people, mostly people who knew them, it was a big deal. A lot of people didn't think so, but, you know, whatever. But I really didn't want it. I wasn't overshadowing them on purpose. I just didn't want to overshadow them. So I'm kind of glad their story took a main event kind of feel to it, even though it was, the third or fourth match in. It kind of had that feel to it. The build did. So
you, and then after WrestleMania, the dust hasn't even settled, and Jeff comes on the post WrestleMania podcast that we had, which is I miss those times. They're fun.
Those were fun.
Those podcasts are hilarious. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. No more. He comes up and drops a bomb that Terry Marvin's getting traded to Asylum, and Michael Callahan, the new World Heavyweight Championship, was going to Overdrive.
Right.
And for me, I was an Asylum guy, and I said, it's bad enough that if I wanted a world title, I'd have to beat Michael Callahan.
Right.
And then you dropped the bomb that I have to beat Terry Marvin, and I didn't want to go to Overdrive just because writing 4,000 words in a week wasn't exactly kosher for me. So I was like, well, I have to stay on Asylum now. That means if I want a world title, I'll have to face Terry Marvin. Okay, I can work my way up there. And then the first match is TJ versus Terry Marvin. And I was like, oh, all right. And then, see, I should have asked you for this advice of how to beat you, because I went in, I was like, all right, I want to do real well. If I don't win, I want to make it close. I want to make it close. All right. And I wrote the first one. And then after the first one, I said, that fucking sucked. I'm content with that because I was just so out of it. And at the time, you know, I was trying to talk to you about getting a like a lengthy program going between me and you, whether it ended up being a title for a title or whatnot. And you dropped the bomb, said, I don't know how long I'm going to be here for. And I said,
Yeah.
And I was like, well, what do you mean? Well, I don't know how long I'm going to be here for because I might not be here past Mayhem. And I said, what? And I was kind of taking me out of it completely, out of APW. Do you want to go into reasons why? Or
I'm not going to go into super specifics, but that was around the time that a whole lot of drama was going down. Excuse me, I sound like a 12-year-old boy now.
a lot of drama went down.
Yeah. A lot of drama was going down, and APW just wasn't fun. So I was really dead set and content on dropping the title and leaving. And then halfway towards Mayhem, Level One, after I had this conversation with you and I said, hey, I'm leaving after Mayhem, because I had truly planned on it.
Mm-hmm.
And level one had the idea of him and I meeting at Test for the Best with the Undisputed title on the line. I'm like, wow, that could be really cool, champion versus champion, if he wins the title at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Champion versus champion, that'd be really cool. And so I was like, okay, I'll just stay for one more. And that turned into another one more.
Mm-hmm.
And here I am, still there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So I know, I remember the story that I came up was like, all right, well, it wouldn't be for Test for the Best, and maybe for Shockwave, and if not, it'd be after Shockwave. And it was like, that's a lot of stuff. And then I was like, I'd have to find something to hold me over for that.
Right.
He'd have to find something to hold him over. And it's like, that's the problem, is we couldn't find anything that held us over. And neither one of us wanted to jump right into it and rush it.
Right.
The idea was Terry, because at the time you're doing the whole Terry Marvin is a sportsman, like new show, new Terry. You know, he's going to be a decent guy.
Which everybody bought immediately.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, okay, well, we can work this out. It's like he goes to TJ and he's like, you know, especially after that first show where you could have nailed TJ to the coffin with the title and you just gave me the tap out title and said good job and left. And it would have been something like where we build into the
thing, yeah,
with Keaton saying, it's like, hey, you know, Keaton, he's not a bad guy anymore. Like, he's like, you don't know Terry Marvin. I said, no, but he didn't do me wrong, so I don't have a problem with him. I get why you're upset with him. Just saying, don't damn me because he didn't do me wrong. So the whole thing was Terry would be good to TJ because TJ is the biggest dude on Asylum. And in a sense, the biggest guy on Asylum would be the biggest threat because he's the biggest guy. And then you would either Test for the Best. If I didn't win, you would cost me it. And that'd be why. And then that would be our little thing. Or you would just kind of Batista be my, I'd be Batista to your Triple H. You'd be like, you don't want the Undisputed. You want the world. You know, that's you. We'll take over or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I ended up, but at that point it was just like, well, I'm done. I had no motivation. You know, I tried to set up the tap out gauntlet and, I didn't put in any effort to try to do stuff and nobody else really did either. So it was one of the things like, well, nobody wants to put an effort in it at all. I don't want to put an effort into it. I'm not going to do anything. I had the one role play against Aubrey J. Parker. And it was just like, oh, I'm done. Like, after this, this is probably going to be my last role play. And then I left and it pissed some people off, apparently. Which nobody brought that up to me at all. So,
of course not.
Yeah. But this is... So then you win at Mayhem. You do the syndicate whole thing, because at this point, were you still running together as a syndicate, but on separate brands, or was...
Yeah, we didn't really sell it good enough at that point,
mm-hmm.
but we were the, we had just defended the BIW tag team titles right before Mayhem,
mm-hmm.
Against Sally and Rex Evans. Yeah. So, yeah, we were still running together at that point.
Okay. So then you do that whole thing, and then you debuted the new syndicate at Test
for
the Best, right?
It was, after Mayhem. After Mayhem.
After Mayhem, that's right. It was Aubrey and Christian Kane? Was that it, or did you have a third person?
It was Aubrey and Logan.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Both Eminem and Christian Kane.
That's right. So, and then did he fill in anybody? Evan was,
no.
I always felt Evan was like an honorary member of the syndicate.
He was until we had that CRW versus APW thing,
right.
And we kind of turned our back on Evan.
You
which,
assholes.
Yeah, he kind of hates me for. In character. In character, he kind of hates me for. Probably out of character too, but whatever.
So
that whole thing didn't go down the way I planned it either, but I'm not going to get into that.
So
yet, maybe later.
And then, I mean,
I still got another six pack ready to go. So
yeah, I know, right? We still have Code Red to talk about. And Sin City. I thought
it was a 5-hour podcast, and you laugh.
I did laugh. All right. So while this is going on, you're in Code Red. I want to say you were in Code Red from February.
Say that again.
February. You were in Code Red in February.
February?
I don't know.
Yeah, it was probably somewhere around there.
Yeah. So you're in there. You're in Code Red. You enter Code Red, and here's the thing: you enter Code Red as a face.
Because of the outcome of
the APW versus.
APW versus CRW. It wasn't really supposed to be full face. It was pro CRW and anti APW.
But it kind of went away from there.
It really did.
You went wrong. So we're back in February.
Yes.
And you know you're pro CRW. You're carrying the CRW flag, and then. Which was also sold sort of kind of in APW when Diamond Legend was the steal from CRW to APW, which in hindsight, I don't think APW won that.
No. Not so much.
By the way, Diamond Legend, only person has pinned Terry Marvin in like the last year, couple months, I believe.
Oh, that's not true.
No?
Oh, that's not true. He at that point he was.
Oh, that's right.
Because I had health issues right before that, and ended up no showing. Yeah. But
Evan beat you too.
But he didn't pin me.
Oh, that's right. That doesn't count. That's why Evan.
That's why Evan hates me.
Because you didn't give him a pinfall win. I bust your balls about that. The whole Diamond Legend. It's okay. I still don't know if I beat him and not in Buck's charity event.
You did.
I probably did.
Okay. I got it back.
So you're in Code Red, and then you end up in the Veritas situation, correct?
Yes. I get involved with Veritas.
You are you're their target. I wouldn't even say you're the thorn in their side as much as they targeted you. Right.
What had happened with that was I had a match scheduled with Brian Sasso, who was a member of Veritas. Sasso had issues; he couldn't role play for the match, so Sasso didn't show up, which Terry took as being blatantly disrespected in character. And so he went out there and he said, "Okay, I want a match with the Veritas, and I want him now." So I got Veritas.
All of them. I want one. No, go back. I don't want. I just want one. Just one.
Yeah, they came down and they beat the living fuck out of me. Mm-hmm.
And then you team up with, or Sally teams up with you because this is around the same time she goes into Code Red from APW.
Yeah, that was way later though.
Was it? Oh yeah, that's right.
Sally didn't team up with me until after I won the Mayhem title or the Apex title. Yeah, that was like in mid-June.
Is it really? Wow. My time is all shitty. Yeah, this is what happens when I got disinterested with e-fetting in general, and I was just like, man, I'm not going to really pay attention as much to anything.
Yeah, here's what went down. Veritas got the crap out of me. I started feuding with them, like you do. And then it led into a feud with Tobias Burden, who was the Apex champion at the time. We had a massive battle and going into
Vendetta?
No. Vendetta was my revenge on Diamond Legend. All this happened at Vendetta.
All right, so we're in between Vendetta.
It was CRW's version of Mayhem that we had that match. It ended up in a draw.
The epic draw.
Epic draw. The Hell's Gate powerbomb.
Mm-hmm.
And then a month after that, we had a rematch in which I won the Apex title. And then it was after that I had the team up with Sally.
That's right. Because I remember, I don't know then what she, because she, asked me when I left APW and Fedding for the most part, she was like, hey, Birdie tells me you're a free agent now. I said, I guess. I mean, I'm not really doing much. I'm just going to take some time off. And she said, oh, all right. And then I swore I remember seeing she was feuding with a member of Veritas, and you were, so I just assumed you guys were together and trying to put together a group to go against Veritas.
Yeah, it was more of a loose
alliance.
Alliance. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay. Have another one, fucking Lush.
So, and now you're the Apex champion, which, you know, is the mid card for CRW. So you're not the world champion, which surprised many, because you're Terry Marvin. You're supposed to hold all the titles. But you end up kind of just, I wouldn't say you were floating around, but you weren't a main focus going into Code Redemption 2.
You were doing
the little things with Gordon Fury.
Yeah.
He showed up on Face Off 2. He faced Rex Evans, right?
Like a return. No, it was Leander Apollo. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't him either.
I don't know.
It was somebody.
I know he faced Rex Evans over in IWF. So he's coming over to
Rex Evans on Face Off.
Yeah, that's right. There we go. And then he ended up signing a contract going against you, which to me was kind of felt like a throw together match because you weren't doing much and he wasn't doing much.
Yeah, I'm thinking that was about it.
Yeah.
Which was fine. It was good to work with him.
Oh yeah, it was a good read. I enjoyed both your role plays, and then that was Code Redemption. And now we're done with Code Red. Now I have to go back a little bit to go to Sin City, because this is where the fun part starts.
Yes, this is where the best part starts.
This is where Terry Marvin goes from Olivia fucking Munn, to Maggie Kent. To which many people would say, what? But I mean, like, I get it. Bruce Kent's going for GM. I get it. I see what you're doing. She's got interview stuff over in Sin City. I see what you're doing. So you joined Sin City January?
Maybe? No.
I am going too far back.
Yeah, let me set it up for you.
Okay, go ahead.
WrestleMania happened, and throughout all this was the VIW, what does that stand for?
Visionary Wrestling Incorporated.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So all that stuff happened with that, and me and Level One won the tag team titles there at Clash of the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And Sam Strachan, who also handles James Stahl, who was kind of like an announcer at VIW. He ended up joining the syndicate and managing Terry in Level One. And he was also a wrestler at Sin City. So what happened was Terry decided to get away from all the APW stuff for a while. That may have had a little bit to do with some stuff going on at OOC, but we'll leave that alone. So Terry decided to get away from the APW stuff for a while, so he flew to Malaysia to hang out with Sam. Well, I did something on Twitter where I was like, you know what, I'm going to come check out Wildcard in Malaysia. And Mina, who handles Maggie, posted on Twitter, you know, oh, that'd be great, I'll pick you up, blah, 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 blah. And everything kind of spiraled from there. So it was after Cancun Clash, SCW's Cancun Clash, which I believe was in April. Sure, we'll go with that. March or April, that I went down for that episode of Wildcard, and then things were happening with Terry and Maggie that just kind of fucking happened. I mean, there was no planning to that whatsoever. It just took off.
That's normally what happens with one night stands. There's no.
Oh, there's no one night stand.
I know. I'm just.
Maggie's a good girl.
She's a classic girl. She's the girl that tries to fix the broken dudes, and the douchebags.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. She was the complete and total opposite of Terry's type, so mm-hmm. naturally.
Naturally, they attracted. And then proceeded to make one of the most nauseating public displays of Twitter affection that
yes, a nauseating public display of Twitter affection that everybody out of character was going, aw. So don't give me that bullshit.
I wasn't going, aw. I was like, dude, seriously? Like, I was like, wait a second. Because at first...
But you have no heart, so...
I did make two Emmett Till jokes today. So, everything that was going on, though, I didn't know who Maggie Kent was. So I just assumed that Maggie Kent was a character that Terry Marvin created. And I was like, are you really that angry at Talon for getting Parkinson's going on? At that time,
You can't say Parkinson's without crediting me.
I was going to. Relax.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead and credit me.
So, Terry Marvin not only created Parkinson's, but said, you know what, I'm jealous of that. Let me create my own fictionary chick that I can somehow relate to SCW. And then it was like, oh, wait, no. Like, that's actually not Terry. That's Mina. Oh, okay. Well, that explains a lot then. Okay. It was like, wait a second, that's totally not Mina's kind of character either. So this is just weird. Everything was weird. Terry Marvin's being nice. Yeah. Mina's not being Aurora Jansen or Sabra. It was like,
yeah. Well, the whole Maggie Kent thing was what really started Terry in APW being the sportsman kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And CRW really being, instead of just the anti-APW face, the face, mm-hmm. And then came into SCW as a face.
Now, before we continue with this, because I want to talk, because we've had Mina on, I've already talked to her about Terry and Maggie.
Right.
How is it when you write, because you're writing for APW still, and Terry's still a prick there. But in SCW,
he's mostly a prick there.
Where? By APW?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's mostly a prick there. Maybe not completely by his standards, but by normal moral people, he's a prick. Yeah. And then in like CRW and SCW, he's a face.
Right.
How is it? Because it's... Because that's a continuity issue. It's like, how do you explain that? Like, if TJ's in multiple feds, he's a face. He's the same guy. Like, I'm not... Like, maybe it's just the nature of the environment.
Well, basically, I explain it that the APW wrestlers are all hypocrites, and their fans are stupid.
Okay.
And the only people that get me is, you know, the CRW people and the SCW people. Okay. It's more involved than that, but that's the basic nutshell.
Okay. That makes sense then. All right. I always wondered how you, because it's just like, all right, well, he's an asshole here, but over there, like, is similar to Stefan Raab, you know, hates, but like, it ended up being like, wait, why? Oh, he's a face in this fed, but a heel in APW. Why? I don't know. Come up with a reason. It was like, just because he hates President Jeff and APW. Okay, that makes sense then. That's fine. But like, it's one of these things, like, I can't understand when people are in multiple feds and then the character that's in multiple feds are different alignments. Ugh. Sorry about that.
Well, I didn't really plan on being in APW this long after that. So,
In your position, if I was going to be in APW, I probably would have, like, just for continuity reasons, turn him face, even if it's out of nowhere. Just be like, I don't know why people are like, clearly, like, guys, look there. I'm a good guy. Why am I getting booed? Like, do I have to go save? Do I have to, the duckling that I kicked down the hole, do I have to go and get it? Do I have to go and get the duckling now?
Well, that's kind of where the APW sportsman respect kind of thing came from.
Okay.
So he wasn't turning full face, but he wasn't as douchebaggery.
Okay.
And that's kind of where that came from. And then he I probably should have pushed it more, but I probably should have gone more towards the face side with the feud with level one than level one, but it tends to seem that level one always plays a better face. That's just me. That's my opinion. But so we should have gone that way. And then lately with the new Syndicate stuff and Aubrey, he's probably going to come out of that being, well, he came out of the last asylum being, you know, cheered and more faced than anything. So
I also don't like how you're dragging Aubrey J. Parker's name through the mud. That I don't like. I'm kidding.
I didn't drag her through the mud. She's batshit crazy. She went noble.
I enjoy reading that stuff just because it's like, because when you read Asylum and then you read Twitter, it's just hilarious.
Yep.
It's just great. I enjoy it. It's like, hey, I didn't, you hit your friend in the face. I didn't hit him in the face. Well, relax. I'm pretty sure. Terry, how's your face feeling? It's pretty swollen. Okay, then you hit him in the face with a title.
No, I didn't. It was an accident.
It's great stuff. Because now we're kind of on the topic about Twitter. How do you feel that it's a hindrance? Like, do you ever feel like what you're saying in Twitter could be like, oh, I could just say that in a promo and it'll make a promo better? Do you ever find yourself catching what you're about to tweet? Like, I want to say that for a role play.
No, I just I sum it up in Twitter and I expand on it in my role play if that's the case.
Okay.
You get 140 words. You get 140 characters in Twitter. Mm-hmm. You can only say so much, but you can take an idea that you post on a tweet and take it into a role play. Because I've done that thousands of times. Maybe not thousands. That might be an exaggeration.
No, you just take people's dibs on How I Met Your Mother promos.
Yeah, I did it better.
Probably did. I couldn't have done it. Well. Well, I probably won't try because now
I'm coming off pretty arrogant here. I'm not really this arrogant. I promise.
You are this arrogant. I'm kidding.
Okay, whatever.
No, you're not.
When you win everything, you kind of tend to be that way.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if you did you read my my role play for I think it was this past face off where I said Terry Marvin, a guy who's just trying to there's guys who win ladder matches that people don't think they're going to win. There's people who go into cages filled with pissed off bees and still win, and then there's guys who decide that they want to win all the world titles just because they can. It was a reference to let me just throw it in there. Because honestly, you really could if you wanted to. I mean, really, anybody can if they wanted to. Just some people are better. But anyway, so let's focus on SCW.
Well, no, because John's on staff in CRW, and he won't let me near that thing. So. He knows it.
Yeah, he does. I don't want you near it either.
Love you, John.
So, in SCW, you're this good guy that Maggie Kent is turning from a douchebag to a good guy, finally getting out of his high school, like, I'm a jock type idea. Being like, you know what, I should probably be a decent human being now, shouldn't I? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that's about it.
Constantly going places with Maggie for no random reason. She's stealing your phone. You should put a better, you should put a passcode on there. I'm just saying.
Well, Terry doesn't protect his stuff that much, I guess.
No, I guess not. I mean, if he just wants to leave one of the world titles hanging around, I'll write that TJ's holding onto it.
No, I'm hiring Sienna Harrison to be my belt bitch. So.
Oh yeah, I did see that. I need a job. You want to carry some of my belts? So take me into the Sin City because I admittedly have not followed Sin City all that much, if at all. I guess it was you were in April, so. 3 months took you to win the global. The fuck is that? That's some bullshit, man. You should be quicker. You should have been a month into it. What are you talking about?
I know. I'm slacking.
So, were you feuding with? Were I guess, was Cyclone the champ when you got in?
No.
Okay.
When I started, JT Cash was the champ.
Okay.
Yeah, JT Cash was the champ. And I kind of started pretty generically. I just came in and started beating people. But after one of the role plays, after the first pay-per-view I was there for, Drake Mosa, handled by Reaper. I'm sure.
Bitches love Mosa.
Yeah, million people know that. He joined SCW, and he put out an open challenge on Twitter for, you know, whoever wanted to take him on. And, of course, Terry being the arrogant
Twitterer
hero now, I guess, said, yeah, I'll kick your ass, no problem. So that kind of started off the Drake Mosa, Terry Marvin feud, which, by the way, Mosa kicked my ass twice. So, there goes your whole Terry hasn't been pinned in 6 months.
Yeah. Well, that's different, but, all right, no, it's not. I'm just saying, like I said, I don't follow SCW all that well.
Apparently.
I've been trying to keep up with it.
It's a good thing you want to Spectre's stablemates over there now.
I know, otherwise I probably still wouldn't check in as often as I probably should.
No, once that happened, once Drake came in, that was during the whole regime change from Dorling to
Dougie and,
I guess, Mina and Doug and,
yeah,
at the time, Ruckus. But so, yeah, things started taking a different turn there. So we had that month and a half long feud between me and Mosa, which kind of built both of our characters up pretty beastly. And during that month, Cyclone came in as the contender and won the global championship at Double Down, which was the same one that Mosa beat me for the second time. So after that, they were holding a number one contender tournament at SCW, and then they were going to pick a number one contender for going into All In. And I think, I'm not exactly sure how the decision got made, but most of my names were on the top two of the list for the number one contender, and I think because it was a heel champion, that's kind of why I got picked as a face.
Okay.
To go against him. Plus, it gave Mosa a lot more fuel for, you know,
fuck.
Yeah. Which I like Rob, the handler of Mosa, and Reaper, and Cobra, and whatever the hell else he handles now. he's a real fun guy to work with. But
RB Blake?
Yes, RB Blake.
And RB Black. Apparently.
Sure.
Well, no, because Extreme Tournament, it was Evan Envy versus RB Black, and then it turned into RB Blake, because it was corrected as RB Blake.
Cool.
Wow, you don't really pay attention to shit, do you?
And I do, I just didn't see the whole Black Blake thing.
Oh.
Of course, being the racist that you are, you would notice a mistake to Black.
I'm not a racist. And yes, if you anything,
are. You stated it all this whole interview. It's all you've talked about.
I was just saying, I made an Emmett Till reference, two Emmett Till references. I pointed out that Ruckus spelled with three K's is pretty racist, because you wouldn't spell Ruckus with three K's unless it meant Ku Klux Klan.
But it didn't. Once again.
What did it stand for? Why are you gonna misspell something? I get hardcore spelled with a K. I get extreme missing an E. I get boys with a Z at the end. I get that. I don't get Ruckus spelled with three K's. I'm just sorry.
I think the guy was just a dumbass.
Well, that could be, but he might also be racist. If you spell you don't see Ryan Ruckus going around spelling his last name with Ruckus with three K's. He's not racist. Anymore. So. What was that?
I said not anymore.
Wait, did he? Maybe.
No, I'm kidding.
You end up getting the number one contendership for All In against Cyclone, right? Yes.
Yep.
Okay. I don't want to assume because I don't know exactly, but I.
Well, that started my favorite storyline so far this year. Cyclone kind of ran with the old CM Punk angle where he wasn't really signed, but he was the champ. So he won the title. He wasn't signed. And he's like, yeah, fuck this, I'm leaving. And kind of became his own free agent and actually was going to sign with Code Red Wrestling, which is where Terry was as well. Mm-hmm. So Terry interrupted the contract signing, stole the contract, ripped it up. Cyclone attacked Terry. Terry interfered at Code Redemption and cost Cyclone the match and stole the title, which forced him to actually show up for the title match at All In.
So it all works to get, it comes together.
Yeah, it was an interfed angle, basically.
Yeah.
So I really liked it. It was a lot of fun.
See, I think there needs to be more of that.
I agree. 100%.
Everybody says they're affiliated with each other. And the only way that everybody's affiliated with each other are...
We're only affiliated at, like, Extreme Tournament time.
Exactly. Or the only other way is you have the same people in the same Fed. Like Terry Marvin's in three different expert-affiliated Feds.
I'm the fucking ambassador.
Yeah, right? But I just think that, like, if you're really affiliated with somebody, you should be, like... And I think with, like... with Talon, with Mina, because she's all over the place as well.
Uh-huh. So
Talon's up for it. Mina's got, and she's in PW, and Aurora's a girlfriend, love interest, or whatever. I don't know if they're married with Legacy or not, but I'm pretty sure it's just girlfriend.
They're not married.
Yeah. Legacy's now running PW out of character.
So yeah, I'm in PW too.
Yeah, so I mean, it's like
it's not as Terry.
Who are you in as?
Willow Winters.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So yeah, a lot of people don't know that. It's not a secret, but a lot of people.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Interesting. So now, actually, hold on. I think it was you and Mina were going back and forth with the whole, like, dressed up and whatnot, and she was yelling at Willow for taking pose pictures or something like that, and then
yeah.
I said, here's an Easter Bunny picture or something like that, and they're just like, oh no, right. Somebody had the Easter Bunny picture that was a demon. I said, look, my costume from when I was fourth grade.
Yes.
Actual size. And then I went back to the very first picture that started all, and I said, damn, and I was like, now I'm sitting there like, this is what Callahan must have felt when he found out that Aubrey J. Parker was Evan Envy. Fun times.
I picked a pretty hot pick base. Come on.
So
you could. It's not gay or anything.
No, it's not. Good taste, I guess.
It's a little gay.
Just a little bit gay. So. Well, that means Talon's...
Hey, we're not going to go there.
Oh, Parkinson's.
Parkinson's.
What was Margan? Was it Margan? No. What was your... what was the couple's name for Maggie and Terry?
I don't think they came up with one.
Oh.
I think that's what started it, is they were trying to come up with couples' names. And I told Talon, I'm like, well... You got Parker and Wilkinson, so clearly you're Parkinson's.
Good times. So, yeah, I just think that, like, if you're going to be affiliates, actually be, I mean, like, you know, Talon in the shows, Talon will advertise other shows.
Right.
Other feds.
And so will Mina and SCW as well.
Yeah. So it's not, and it's in... Like, I think that was what CWC did with the grandstand idea, if more feds
good.
Kind
I really
of
like that.
Oh, it was great. I'm just I don't know why it's not happened as much. Because like just the idea of like, all right, so you have like here like check out this show like you know with I think Code Redemption advertised All In. And then All In advertised Face Off and other shows. So it's just like it all works together if you have that kind of working agreement type things. Like, all right, well, you know, and it also helps because if you want to do more with a storyline but you don't have enough time, ask one of the feds, says, hey, your guy that I'm feuding with is in your fed and we'd like to add something to our storyline over here. Are you cool with that? Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, like, I think with, like, because now what you and Cyclone did was awesome. Now you have Spectre's Tomb Security.
Yes, that's awesome as well.
I know. I'm a part of it. That's why it's awesome.
So am I, just not as me.
Yeah, true. Wait. Yeah. So I was like, wait, hold on. That's right. But it's awesome because I'm there as me. I'm not pretending to be a chick.
That's good. You can't pull it off.
I don't think I could.
You don't. You're not in touch with your feminine side.
I have too much of a beard. I don't know. You know what? I think I'm gonna find a bearded lady and make that like that's gonna be my next like another character. It's gonna be a chick, but just with a beard, and she's proud of it. And then we're gonna be blatant like, oh, that's TJ's handling that. Nobody talks about it. Nobody tries to give that a beard a love like TJ. Nobody appreciates fine facial hair like me.
What's the pick base? Matt Morgan in the dress?
It's a chick, but with Matt Morgan's head.
Even better. You know, it needs to be like some skinny Puerto Rican chick with Matt Morgan's head. That'd be perfect.
I bet right now Talon is listening to this and saying, what can I make in Photoshop? Let me do that. He's already dragging my name through sand already. I'm not a pedophile or a racist.
No, you're both.
No, that's Poncho. That's John. It's not me.
Hey, I can't make fun of Poncho. He's Uncle Bruce.
And yet everything's just coming around in circles.
It is.
You were touched by Uncle Bruce, weren't you?
We're not going to talk about that right now.
All right. So,
move along.
All right. So, and then at All In, you beat Cyclone. And then that's when Fresh comes out. And he's like, I'm a god. And then, you know, the Sinistry starts to beat down Terry Marvin. And then out comes Chris Strike, Willow Winters.
Willow wasn't in that, but she wasn't there yet.
It was Strike, somebody, and then me. And then I came down, cleared house, and then I told Terry to go grab Mackie and get the fuck out of here.
Envy was a part of that too.
Oh yeah, Envy did come down. That's right. It was Envy.
And what was her name? Missy Whitmore.
Yeah, I'm just saying in order. I think Strike was the first one out, and then it was somebody, then it was me, and then it was Evan and Misty.
Yeah, I'm missing somebody there.
Penny something. Was it Penny? No.
Is it Penny? Penny?
Might have been. I think Penny came out after Chris, in between me and Chris. I don't know.
Oh, could be.
Well, I know is came out and I was all like an action hero, like, go get the girl. And I was like, yeah, that's right. That's go get the girl. We got
get
this.
Chopper.
Get the chopper. Oh my god. That's it. Next time. If we have to do a STS like role play, I'm gonna request that TJ goes all Arnold, just starts spitting out random Arnold quotes, like from "You're fired" to "Let off some steam" to get to the chopper.
Yes.
Oh my god! Just every Arnold action movie, like pun, all of them.
The crowd cheers at the arrival of Strike, Envy, Whitmore. Oh, that's not the order that they came out.
Oh.
It was
scintillating podcasting.
Yes, I know.
But no, I don't know.
No, you were first.
I was?
You were first.
Oh. Okay. disregard everything we said then. But anyways, yep. I'm still like an action hero. Get the girl. Get to the chopper and get home.
Yep, go ahead and hold on to that.
Yeah, I'll take that. That I can claim, because it definitely says TJ tells Terry to grab Maggie and leave. I just think to wrap up this point, the whole interfeding, like, just be more interfeding other than the experts and other stuff. Like, work each other's storylines and advertise stuff. That's just me.
Yeah, I agree.
So
and it's not just you. I think at least SCW and CRW kind of tended to verge that way.
I think PW now might start doing that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel, especially the experts fed. I mean, there's five of them, so it's not hard to.
What's the fifth one?
APW.
Okay, that's the fourth one.
PW, SCW, CRW, APW.
What's the fifth one?
Hold on, because I know there were six, and TFWF is gone. Oh,
is it VFW?
Yeah, VFW. There we go.
BWF, that's what it was.
BWF, yeah. So, I mean, I just think getting each other around, you know, getting all these feds, like, just a little bit, not even, like, you don't have to have everybody's champion on. Like, just like the other guys. I mean, hell, I'd rather have other guys. Like, I'd rather have, Gravedigger go over to PW or SCW, or have any of, like, the SCW. Like I said, I don't know SCW all that well, so I could just give me a random person.
SCW?
Yeah.
Why not Chris Strike? Why not Siegfried Merriweather? Why not?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. I was going for some people who weren't, like, name recognition. Like, Chris Strike, people know who Chris Strike is. People know who Terry is. I'm going for, like, people that may not, like, all right, oh, wow, that guy's good. Like, he's over in CRW, but I've never heard of him. Well, that's because you're not paying attention. And they get people to pay attention. So, that's my thing. But, yeah, so, did you join another Fed while we've been doing this? Do we have to talk about that one, too?
I don't think I've joined one in the last 3 hours.
Okay, because, yeah, I think we're splitting this into two. And this is definitely getting split into two. and it's not going to be two. It's not going to be two. People listen to this because I decided I'm just going to – part one's going to be 1 week and part two is going to be the next week. That's how I'm going to do it.
I got another six-pack. We can go for three weeks.
I'm done. No.
Okay, whatever.
So we're going to wrap this up. Favorite moments.
Oh, God, you mean forever?
Yeah, since forever. Just give me two, because I know you have a lot more. Give me two.
Well, being the guy to make Noble go Noble was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably easily one of them. Shit. I don't know. Winning Survive and Conquer was pretty cool. Everything with what's his name? Keaton Saint, that's it. That was pretty cool.
That guy.
I've been drinking, sorry.
It's fine. I've tried to catch up with you, so.
Yeah, I mean, I could list a thousand different things here.
I know you can, and I don't want you to, because we're already encroaching on 3 hours, so.
Oh, we passed the mark.
Yeah. Well, no.
No? Oh, okay, we're close.
250 here. Maybe a little bit less. I guess, what's your least favorite? I mean, you could probably think of a whole bunch of them, too.
Yeah, I got a lot of them, too. throughout my whole career, or just?
Throughout the whole career.
God, there was a lot of things in that forearm wrestling place that fucking. There was a lot of good in there, but there was a lot of bad. Mm-hmm. there's just a whole lot of bad. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say just that, and you started going off.
Yeah, it was pretty much just all the constant arguing and, you know, misinterpreting of characters and all that stuff. It's kind of bugged me about that. So that pretty much sucked. The APW drama phase, that sucked. That really took its toll on me. If it weren't for everything with Maggie and SCW and all that, I probably wouldn't even be e-fetting anymore.
That's not good.
I mean, I'm not gonna blame it on anybody, because there's people that, I mean, I'm sure I was at fault too. Mm-hmm. I'm not Captain Noble here, no pun intended. But there was just a lot of drama going on, and it kind of drained me for a little while. But that probably, that's my most recent thing. Just everything that happened. Not pointing fingers, not blaming anybody. Just the fact that it happened was sucked.
When you're writing, what gets you like motivated and inspired? And don't say the deadline, because everybody keeps saying the deadline. It's starting to make me upset.
Yeah,
I hate on the deadline.
I usually post at the deadline, but I usually start writing way before that.
Uh-huh.
I like to take my time and just go over things, but that's me. Sometimes music, sometimes Twitter, a lot of times Twitter. Certain different things I pick apart on Twitter that kind of get me inspired. The whole storyline with with Maggie and everything was a pretty big inspiration. That fueled a lot of CRW and SCW roleplays recently. So it's a lot of things. It could be music, it could be Twitter, it could be other people. A lot of times it's other handlers or other characters doing or saying something that kind of sets off a tick in my head and go from there.
People you've molded your writing after.
I think I've taken a little bit from Noble. At least leading up in the last year, kind of how he did the different scenes. I used to write role plays to where they kind of all just blended into one scene. Mm-hmm. I kind of liked his separation of scenes. I know a lot of people did it. It wasn't just Noble, but he's the one that kind of made it work the most for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's been a pretty big inspiration. As far as character development goes, anything that Mina has done with like Aurora Jensen or pretty much anybody, kind of helps me with my character development, because that's one thing ever since leaving Ruckus Wrestling, that's kind of one thing that's I put on the back burner, was always focused on my shoots and making them good, and kind of character development was, I'll just do this, or I'll just do this. But I'm kind of working more on that now as well, so.
Okay. I mean, we've been doing this for 3 hours now, over two episodes. So you would think we did enough shouting out to people. I don't think we did really any, though.
Did I?
Not really, not for the most part. Outside of saying, making fun of somebody, but then following up with, I love so-and-so, I'm just kidding. So, I'm going to give you the floor. 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
10 minutes. You have up to 10 minutes.
I have up to 10 minutes?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take about 20, so.
I know, because normally these things only take an hour and a half to record, and it's about almost 3 hours, so. And I'm going to chime in for these ones, just because if you go 20, I got to chime in some stuff. So
okay, that's fine.
So I'll chime in when I want to. I'll try not to chime in while you're talking.
That's fine. So shout out time.
Shout out time. Shout out.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm done. I think I'm going to start with feds first and go from there.
Well, save that for your post stuff. I mean, if you.
Oh, is that my post stuff?
Yeah, that's the post stuff where you advertise, you say, nice things about feds and why people should join them.
Okay. So now I'm just saying nice things about people.
Yeah. For the most part, people.
Okay. Well, let me first off by start by thanking, the soul of Philly TJ for having me on.
That fucker? I hate that guy.
Yeah, that fucker. For having me on eFed Journals twice.
In one, just because it's your one episode, it's not like I had you on before. I guess it's payback for the fact that every time you had your APW podcast, I'd come on and take it over. And
take it over everything?
Yeah.
What is love? What is love? All right. Nobody wants to hear me sing. So yeah, thanks for having me on again. I really, really enjoy listening to these. They're pretty insightful for the most part, and pretty fucking hilarious for the other. So, shout outs. Fuck, got way too many. I guess we'll go with Mina next. Aurora Jensen, Sabra, Sherry Diamond. Who am I missing? Maggie. A couple other people. She's, ever since probably April of this year, she's really helped me get back into the mindset of, writing and character development and everything like that. And her storylines that she's helped me with have really kind of just taken off and kept everything from going stale like it does after so many years of doing this. I'm going to move to Keaton Saint, who I'm sure you're tired of me talking about him by now. Really, at the beginning of last year, kind of helped me set up to have the run that I did in APW and elsewhere, kind of built Terry as the most evil person on the planet, which I'm okay with at that point. Big shout out to Kurt Noble, who also helped contribute that. Working with him was extremely fun. He was always receptive to my ideas, had some great ideas of his own, and him letting me noble him was a huge, huge deal to me. Shout outs go to, Evan and the handler of Evan Envy. Also the handler of AJP and Ashlyn DeLuca. Now that that's all out there. There have been people that have called me the hardest working person in e-fedding, cause I'm in tons of feds and stuff, but that's a load of bullshit. Nobody works harder than Dimitri. There were just times that he's written big portions of shows on his phone. He wrote 5 or 6 matches a week for Meltdown or whatever it was, and just put together segments and did tons of work. He busts his ass all the time. So, big shout out to him. Goddamn, I've been talking so long, my voice is starting to go.
Just wash it down with some of your six pack there.
Yeah, I got another one here. Hold on a second. All right, that's gonna be the most entertaining part of this podcast. shout out to Level One, who, along with all the VIW stuff and the syndicate stuff, has really just been there for me as far as storylines go and everything like that. Chris Hart, James Hart, James, whatever you want to call him, Captain Metro, He's been a pretty good friend of me since we met middle of last year. I'm drawing a blank. Talon, of course, for everything he's done for me and CRW. Dougie Fresh, who's a big part of SCW and really busts his ass over there as well. Fuck it, help me out, TJ. Who am I missing?
Did you get Noble?
Noble was like number three. Okay. On now.
Callahan?
Oh, Callahan. What about
upset
Callahan?
If you don't say something about him.
Yeah, Michael Callahan, big help over in APW. I worked a small angle with him, and we were part of the double trade after WrestleMania, from Asylum to Overdrive. So that was pretty interesting. So Callahan, you rock. Do you want to say something there?
He's a cunt.
Oh, he's a cunt.
Yeah. He's a cunt. You left out that
I tell you what, I'll be positive, you be the douchebag.
Well, no, he sends you, because you know I'm facing him and Leander for the primetime title.
Yeah.
And he sends me something this morning. I, like, woke up at, like, 12, and he goes, "That belt is coming home with me, motherfucker." And I said, "You said I root for the Steelers, you dumbass. You got to lose on that alone." And then he defends it by saying his Trey Parker is stupid. And I said, "Yeah, but that's the only thing incorrect in the promo. It kind of stands out." And he's like, "He said he's going to win the belt. That's stupid, right?" I said, "No."
Oh. So. Okay, moving along.
Yeah, that's why I said he's a cunt, just because I knew he did that on purpose.
Yeah, probably. CJ Gates, of course.
Yeah.
We've had many different discussions on PMs and building storylines, and everything that happened at WrestleMania was probably, I would say, 6 months to 8 months in the working, because all through the Keaton Saint stuff, we had our interactions and everything with that, so that was pretty cool. Delicato's handler, who's an awesome guy. We did a little one-off thing with the Deli Show, which was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I had a lot of fun reading Deli Show. It was just great because, I mean, you were working with Kurt Noble's, like, actual, like, brother, like, in real life. And you guys were doing the whole, I think, because Deli was playing a part in that feud for a bit.
Yeah.
And you were doing, what was it? I fucked Amy Noble Club or something like that?
Yes. Yeah.
And it was funny because I thought, and I swore he was putting that, he put that in his sig just because Delicato never did. And I was just like, that's awkward. Like, because maybe not in E-Fetting, they're not Eskimo brothers, but they're real life brothers. So just, does that make them Eskimo brothers? If they both say that they had sex with the same internet character person, it caused a lot of like problems with my mentality. I was like, I couldn't handle it. It's too much. And then I introduced you to Christian Kane, who was the first member of the I Fucked Amy AV Noble Club.
Ah, yes.
It's like this guy's trouble.
Okay, I'm moving right along.
Let's see. Did you get Rebel?
That was my next, very Damn, next shout out.
Your mind.
Going to Rebel, who was the Overdrive general manager for a while and pretty much let me do whatever the hell I wanted on that show. So so kudos to him. He did a hell of a job. He's taken a step back from all this E-Fetting stuff, but he is one of the best staff members that, like, anywhere. He's an ass kicker. So, let's see. Let's go with Biggs. Asylum general manager has really helped me out. Pretty much lets me do whatever the hell I want as well. So, see, Jeff, of course, ABW president, kind of, for the most part, lets me do whatever the hell I want. no, he's really receptive to my ideas and kind of has some of his own. So, kudos on that. Let's see. The handler of Liam Alexander and like 15 other fucking people.
Too many characters.
Jesus Christ. No, I've known him for quite a while now, and he's always cool to work with. Him and Terry have his character, Liam Alexander and Terry have struck up a friendship based off Twitter, basically, and that's pretty much helped me out as well.
Gotta love Twitter.
Love Twitter. Let's see, who else did I go with here? Handler of Leander Apollo / Chris Strike / I'm sure I'm missing somebody. Had a nice little match with him in CRW, which was really fun. I really enjoyed that. It's probably my favorite one-off match in CRW so far.
He's probably going to take my title.
Yeah, he probably is. I mean, don't beat yourself up, TJ. You'll do fine.
I'm not a great role player, so I mean, I shouldn't have even had that title in the first place.
Oh, you're a great role player.
I'm not a great role player.
You're one of the best.
I just, like, I don't have a problem
with always... I can't tell if I'm joking or not, and I love it.
I just hate, like, because when people say, like, I've had, like, mobile, oh, you're up there with, like, Kurt Noble and Terry Marvin in Level 1, and I said, like, this was back in APW, and I said, what are the three of those have that I don't? And they're like, I don't know. I was like, world titles. I'm not, there's a clear divide between me and them. There's a clear divide. They're like, oh, but you're good at them. No. Like, you're that's like saying that like Matt Ryan's as good as Aaron Rodgers. It's not true. Like, yeah, Matt Ryan's good, but Aaron Rodgers is better.
Are you done taking up my shout out time?
I don't know. Fuck the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, fuck you.
I just had to get in there. All right, continue.
Slit your fucking throat. Wow. Anyway.
God hates Cleveland for a reason. I just found it out there.
He does. Cleveland hates God.
LeBron James.
Fuck you. All right, moving right along. What did I leave off at?
You said Jer.
I was just at Leander.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Adrian Spector, who's his little comeback to SCW. I'm fucking enjoying the hell out of that. I still want to rematch against him. Let's see, who else? I'm just going to start naming people now.
Sally.
Oh yeah, fucking Sally. God, I almost forgot. How could I forget? Sally fucking had a quite a lengthy feud with her going back to my first run at APW. She actually put me out of action, bitch. No, Sally's cool. Her handler's extremely cool, especially when she gets drunk and rambles on Twitter.
That's the best.
That's always entertaining. Hours of entertainment.
And the best is because she's getting drunk when we're like waking up.
Yes, I know.
Gotta look. That's when the Australian chats in the
chat room were amazing.
Oh my god.
Because it was like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock for us, and it was like noon for her. So.
Oh my god! Just the drunk chats in general. That it was me, you, Callahan, Sally,
yeah,
Bubble Pop. We're all Brendan Harvey.
God.
We're all Brendan Harveys.
That was horrible.
You Terry Har.
T Har.
Terry Harvin. Oh man.
T Har's got nothing on T Harv. Who am I missing? Can't forget Johnny Knuckles. I think I met him my first day there at the APW, and we had a pretty good conversation. He's a pretty cool guy. Will, as in William Bateman. Chris, as in Natalie Bateman. Let's see. Sam Stratchton, James Stahl. Same guy.
Yeah.
For all his help with the BIW stuff and managing the syndicate, that was pretty cool.
Russ, for the eventual Experts Championship that you're going to be holding.
Sure, if you say so.
Sorry, I'm telling you right now, is after my shit job in round one that I still don't feel I should have won, I'm going to beat Dougie Fresh, and I'm going to pull, that's going to pull Kurt Noble out of retirement, and then he's going to beat me for the title, and then you're going to beat him, and he's going to go back to retirement, and everything is as it should.
Ah, okay. If you say so.
That's how this experts tournament's going to play out.
I'll hold my breath until that happens.
Don't.
I'm running out of people to thank. I think my shout-outs are done.
All right.
Oh, Rex Evans. Cool guy I worked with. Buxton Gooch. I can't forget the Gooch.
Can't forget the Gooch.
Can't forget the Gooch.
Do you smell what the Gooch is cooking?
No, I try not to. All right, I'm probably missing somebody. I apologize.
Just cover everybody. Just say thank you to anybody that you've ever beaten.
Thank you to anybody I've ever beaten. I'm sending you a free Damn You Terry Marvin t-shirt.
Speaking of that, segue.
Then I got a shout out to Tobias Burden. I forgot about that. Also, Steve the Spider.
Abo. Abado.
Oh, yeah, him too. He's hilarious.
Meng. He's great. All right. Since you brought up the Damn You Terry Marvin, I asked earlier if you had your own personal Damn You Terry Marvin moment. And you said yes. Plenty.
I'm sure I've had plenty.
Number one that comes to mind, Damn You Terry Marvin moments.
Define the perfect Terry Marvin moment, though. Damn You Terry Marvin moment.
Define the perfect?
Yeah.
I don't know. Everybody has their own Damn You Terry Marvin.
Find a good, what's your Damn You Terry Marvin
mine?
Moment?
Mine?
Yes.
Really? I don't know if it's... Probably Damn You Terry Marvin was when you were drafted to Asylum, because I was like, ooh, I'm working up. I got this. I have this idea. I'll have some ideas going into... the test for the best, and then maybe Callahan will still be champ, and if he is, then I'll give it my all, and then when I beat Bundy, I can tell him to fuck off. and then I see you get traded over to Asylum, and not only do I lose all that, but I have to beat you. That was probably my Damn You, Terry Marvin. That's probably mine. Until, like, you actually beat me for something that's of importance.
Well, you're welcome, then.
Thank you. But what is your own Damn You Terry Marvin moment?
My Damn You Terry Marvin moment would probably it's a roundabout way of getting there, but when all the complete tournament EET prediction threads came out and every other person predicted me to win it, putting absolutely no pressure whatsoever on me.
So that's your
That was my Damn You Terry Marvin moment.
Okay. All right, I can see that. Yeah, because I don't like when people predict me to win either.
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
Because like, great, now people are gonna be upset that I didn't.
Because if they don't predict me to win and I do win, that's awesome. If they do predict me to win and I do win, well, it's expected. But if they do predict me to win and I don't win, then I'm a fucking loser.
Exactly.
That's the way I feel about it.
And then you get, if you win this round, you face Jack Benevolence if he wins, right?
Yes. I think it's,
good luck with that.
Well, that's not a foregone conclusion.
No, I said if that's he wins and if you win.
Yeah. Yeah, neither one of those is a foregone conclusion.
No. All I know is Jack Benevolence is the original damn you blank person that
yes.
At least I can
damn
think
you
of.
Damn you, Jack Benevolence.
Yeah, Jackie B.
If I do win and he wins, I should get to cross somebody off my eFed bucket list. So that'd be cool too.
He's not on mine because that means that I'm gonna lose. I like my bucket list to be people that I think I can beat. There's like
what, Brandon Harvey.
I think I can beat him. I think so. I mean, if he shows.
I'm kidding, TJ.
If he shows.
Rob Rufio.
Yeah. It's all right. Evan didn't show either, so I can't bust him too much. So I think three or so hours of this is so off two episodes.
Nah, just post it as one giant, ginormous.
I don't want to do that, because that'll be people like, damn, what the fuck are they talking about? This way, if I do part two, they can not listen to the original, the origins of Terry Marvin, if they so choose. So.
That's true.
Yeah. So we went far in depth. I'm going to go out and just list. I might just put up last, the one that we did originally, even though it's outdated just because it's shorter. Maybe. Probably not. I don't have to go back and edit and combine them though. So that's good.
I wouldn't even put that one up. I just put these up.
Oh, I will. This is going to be if I ever ask people to donate money to this and then give them a reward, it'll be the unheard Terry Marvin.
There you go. That's a good idea.
Unheard Terry Marvin for $1.
$1.
You think, am I selling you too low?
I think you are. I think that's a $10 thing.
You think it's $10? So we'll go $5.
No, we'll compromise. We'll give them a discount and go $5.
$5. $5, you get the Terry Marvin unheard interview. Uncut. Because that one...
Or you can put the interview on eBay.
I'm just saying, man. I don't know. I don't know if Terry Marvin's interview on eBay. I don't think Terry Marvin's eBay material.
Well, what if I win the True Aspirates title?
You're definitely Craigslist then.
Craigslist? Deal. Yeah. I'll compromise.
No, you know what's funny is we were all the way back on the very beginning of this, you said, well, this podcast starts great. It's a shitty open and you've already dropped two F-bombs. I don't think I dropped one fuck in a while.
It's been a fucking while.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you start a fucking podcast by cursing and by saying fucking, you feel like you got a fucking obligation to curse.
About to do the Jay and Silent Bob fuck rant.
Oh my god. Before we leave though, I'm going to introduce something that I've known I've had the ability to do with this program, but I haven't exactly had the right moment to do it.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna we'll say our goodbyes now. You know, so it was a blast having you on for the second time.
Thank you for having me again, and again.
So we're gonna take this one out. You know what? Screw it, everybody. Thanks for listening to this episode of the eFed Journal. No, because I got to do all the post stuff. So no, there will be more after this. I'll probably cut it up about halfway. I hope you know what's coming.
I know what's coming.
Okay, good. I don't think anybody. Some people may know. But yeah.
Some people may know. It's clicking for a couple right now.
Oh yeah. So, Terry, thanks for stopping by, man. And
thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
It was a blast. And without further ado. What is love, baby? Don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more.
Hey, bud.
Yeah, I was still jamming out. God, I love Hathaway. What is love, everybody? That's a joke from APW, WrestleMania, and other podcasts that we did. I appreciate you guys stopping by. Before we go, Terry had his feds that he wanted to plug. Terry, take it away.
Alright, big shout out to check these feds out. APW, actionpackedwrestling.com. Pretty long-lived fed there. They've been around for, I don't know, 5 or 6 years and had different incorporations of it before that. We got Sin City Wrestling, SCW. Great staff there, and I'm not just saying that because I'm on it. lots of good handlers there as well. Pretty free style as far as RPing goes. You can be more story based, you can be more promo based, and we pretty much judge it for the overall quality of the role play. So Check that out. Code Red Wrestling, still one of the newer eFeds out there. Code Red Wrestling, www.coderedwrestling.com, I do believe is the website for that. And they just started season 3. They go based on seasons there. It's a little, takes a little getting used to, but it's no big deal. So yeah, they're just getting started in season 3 there. Come check that out. And Phoenix Wrestling, been around for probably as long, if not longer, than APW. I can't remember exactly how long they've been around, but they've been around for a while. And they just kind of started a new revamp of how that Fed's run. They got a new Fed head and a lot of new stories incorporated, and pretty cool place to work. So, or pretty cool place to write, work, whatever. So yeah, come check any of those out.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you for stopping by. Check out the eFed Journal sites, efedjournal.blogspot.com and efedjournal.webs.com. Shows are on the Blogspot. All the other fun stuff is on the Webspot at the eFed Journal. That's the Twitter handle where you can follow me. Check them all out. If you want to advertise, I hope I made it a point. I guess I didn't. I need a script, an advertisement. It's the radio commercials that I'm saying, really. You know, give me something that'll fill 2 minutes or so. You know, however many words that is. You know, it's like an advertisement for a forum, but slighter. Just give me what would sell. What kind of fed are you going to be? What kind of schedule you got? Other stuff, you know? Just give me that kind of stuff. That's all I ask. So, with that, I guess that's it. Take a listen to next week's episode, episode 22. I'm TJ. This has been the eFed Journal for Pete. I hope to hear from you guys next week. Stay fedding. Later.
Fuck, I forgot Duckman. How the hell do I forget Duckman?
I'm going to take a note right there.
I can't. Oh, you're gonna. I'm sorry, Duckman. I really am. Suck. How the fuck do I forget Duckman?